listening to Outside the Cage with your hosts, Gabriel Owens and Alan Young.
Welcome to Outside the Cage, coming back again at you. Another show for a while. I'm your host, Gabriel Owens. With me always is the Progression Procrastinator, Alan Young.
Hello.
There he goes.
Sorry, I guess I'm supposed to say something there.
I just said you were a procrastinator, so.
I was waving at the camera.
There's no camera.
There's a camera right there. It's just not turned on.
We have no video for this show.
Yes, that's for the best, I'm sure.
No one wants to see me or you sitting in front of a camera.
Naked.
Possibly. I am wearing a Transformers shirt right now, so I expect to fit. Anyway, it's been a long time, guys. Sorry. This show's just going to have long gaps. Get used to it. Anybody who's, you know, dying for us to do a weekly, not going to happen. Not in the near future. Maybe someday. That was also your cue to throw in there, Alan.
Oh, I agree.
But sometime in the future, we will be more active. I'm leaving for 7 months coming up, so if there's any shows during that 7 months, you know, thank your lucky stars for those hardcore fans that just love hearing us. All hundreds.
All two of them.
Hey, we got like 100 people download our stuff on iTunes.
Yeah. That means they're all hardcore fans.
People that just download everything with MMA and put it on their iPod or whatever.
Probably.
Thank you. We do appreciate you and all the fans on RFC who, you know, the ones that actually like MMA and listen to us, and those guys who apparently just download everything on RFC and listen to it. Why would you do that for 40 minutes of a show about a sport you don't care about? I don't understand, but we do appreciate you. Maybe it'll turn you on to the sport.
You think if I start plugging the Fleshlight, they'll sponsor us?
Oh, hell yeah. Joe Rogan, Kevin Smith, all about the Fleshlight, sponsoring their shows, working out well for them. So I suggest all of you go out and buy a Fleshlight. If you, you're a male who likes masturbation and you're tired of your hand, go buy a Fleshlight.
Or you're a female who likes sticking her tongue in things and without batteries.
And if you are a person who works for Fleshlight, hey,
send us money.
We would welcome your sponsorship. Absolutely. Brian would, too. Say hi, Brian.
Call us.
Hello. Holla. Yeah, it's been a lot going on in MMA. We've had some changes to fights. We've had Strikeforce dying.
A slow, painful death.
Slow, painful. We have a upcoming title fight this weekend. I'm at sea. Hopefully our satellite's working, I can watch it. Otherwise, I gotta stay spoiler free for 2 days.
Good luck with that.
That's pretty easy. I just stay off the internet.
Yeah.
It's easy enough to do, right? I've heard from people they do it.
There was once a time there was no internet.
It's true. I remember those days. I remember I was just thinking today, like, having to buy cassettes of music, and the only way I knew how new music came out was, you know, magazines and stuff. And, you know, the ability to, you know, just sit at a box and make that music come to me for free was unheard of.
You're not supposed to be getting it for free. You're supposed to be paying for it.
Exactly. I did just buy my latest CD, Anthrax Worship Music. If I ever do another metal show, that we will be talking about that. But for right now, we're going to talk mixed martial arts. I think still the biggest show, point of interest is Nick Diaz getting kicked out of his title fight with George St. Pierre.
He no-showed to the press conference, two press conferences, and didn't have a good excuse. Apparently, he turned off his phone and ran out of the house, so Caesar Gracie couldn't catch him. And
literally ran out the back door when Caesar was at his front door.
And then go ahead.
I would say he literally later claimed he had no idea what was going on. He just thought it was some kind of photo opportunity he wanted to go to, and didn't realize his title shot was on the line. Apparently,
That's Nick Diaz for you.
He's always fun for a story, at least.
Yes.
I don't know what to make of it. In one hand, I'm like thinking, you know, this was a important title shot. This is, you know, money. They did have to offer refunds for the replacement fight. People who didn't want to see that fight versus the one that was advertised for the tickets.
Right.
UFC probably took a little bit of wash on that, and I'm like,
I doubt a lot.
Yeah, but
I figure they lost more money on advertising and promotion. They got to reprint the posters and
Tickets too, because they offered full refunds. Anybody who'd bought the tickets expecting that fight, and now they're getting.
But do you think a lot of people are upset that it's Carlos Condit instead of Nick Diaz?
Well, I'm sure there are. There are people who are like, yeah, this is the Strikeforce champion versus the UFC champion. That stuff still means something to people.
Yeah.
And, they lost that fight over what's kind of a stupid issue, but at the same time, if you're a management in UFC, that's... I can definitely see how you would just do that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't depend on the guy to do to fulfill his obligations, so... Sure.
And I know Jordan Breen on Sure Dog had been talking about, you know, not defending... Diaz, but also saying, you know, this guy does, you know, and I've defended the guy before, you know, about his ADD, and Jordan was prognosticating that he had possibly some kind of social anxiety disorder, which is probably true. He does not like to be in public. The dude needs help. Prime of his career, you know, you want to get the most fights, but, you know, if you have mental issues, maybe you should go take care of them when you can take care of them.
Yeah.
And I would like to see, you know, Nick's just too talented of a guy to go to the wayside over, you know, some people say, you know, just minor mental issues, but obviously it's shit that affects him. So,
right.
I would hope he go gets help. You know, now he's going to fight BJ Penn, and there's mini drama in that. They were friends, and, you know, Nick Diaz doesn't fight friends. He, you know, anybody he's fighting is his enemy, and he really didn't want to fight BJ because now he has to hate him. And BJ says he was forced to say bad things about Nick by the UFC producers for their special or something. I don't know. So.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, every situation.
I've been the fight.
It's a fight. It's hype. You know, speaking of this weekend, you know, Quentin and John Bones come out and say, like, yeah, we were kind of forced to do all that. That was just, we're just trying to hype a fight. You know, I don't think anyone will be shocked.
Yeah. That happens all the time. You know, guys go at it back and forth, jabs, and then once the fight's over, they're all hugs and kisses. So,
you know, to this point,
that's just part of the business.
It is, and at the end of the day, you know, it's like, you know, say Chael Sonnen and Anderson Silva, you know, it comes out like after Chael retires, he's like, you know what, I never really had a problem with Anderson Silva, I was just, you know, playing a character, and,
yeah,
you know, he's a great fighter, I love him. You know, it would not surprise me at all, especially with Chael's pro wrestling background.
I mean, right.
But speaking of Silvas, we did have a change today. Of fights coming up.
Vitor Belfort dropped out, was injured, and will no longer be fighting Wanderlei. Instead, it will be Kung Lee, another Strikeforce import.
Yeah, you got that backwards. Vitor was supposed to fight Kung Lee. Now Vitor is out, and Wanderlei has replaced him.
Isn't that what I said?
No, you said yeah, a little backward. You said Kung Lee is now replacing Vitor.
Wait, did I misread the story? I thought that was...
No, the original fight was Vitor versus Kung Lee in San Jose, Kung Lee's hometown. And Vitor got injured, he's out, and Vanderlei is now taking the fight.
Okay, I guess I misread it.
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole point of the fight, it was the first fight for Kung Lee under UFC, and it was going in San Jose, where he's a huge draw, you know, like the best selling Strikeforce cards have been in San Jose when Kung Lee and or Frank Shamrock were on the card, two local guys. And Kung Lee's still on the card, but he's not fighting Vitor anymore. He's fighting Vanderlei, but which I think brings up, you know, a new set of questions. You know, either both fights traditionally should be great fights. You know, it's two strikers, two very, you know, are three all together. Dynamic strikers who have, you know, interesting things to bring. You know, Vanderlei's wild chute box style, Vitor's quick knockouts and hands, Kung Lee's Sin Shao, Kung Fu, whatever the hell he's using. All this fancy stuff that everyone says doesn't work that he always makes work 99% of the time. So it's still a good fight. I think the question is Vanderlei's chin at this point. This will be the make or break, because Kung Lee could hit him in the head with a knee, elbow, punch, or kick. And if Vanderlei goes down, I think that's like, I would think that'd be the end. They'd be like, the dude doesn't have a chin anymore. He's done.
Yeah, I'm looking at a story here. Dana White, Vanderlei Silva's octagon career online in one UFC 139 bout with Kung Lee. So.
Yeah, Dana apparently agrees with me. Good for him. He should. I'm pretty smart about these things. But yeah, it's I think Vanderlei, he's in the same boat as his former opponent Chuck Liddell. I think he's actually technically improved as a fighter a lot, but his many, many wars over the years have weakened his chin, starting with Krokop kicking it off at Openweight Grand Prix 2006, Dan Henderson hitting it later that year, then Rampage on their third fight, cracking him terribly, and he did survive fights later and won some, lost some, but no one really cracked him again until Chris Lieben, which was just a bad one. So this will show a lot. You know, if he takes a good shot from Kung Lee and keeps going, it says he still has somewhat of a chin. You know, but he goes down from a shot that, you know, he probably should have taken, I think. At this point, you have to say Vanderlei's lost his chin and he should become some kind of, one of these great ambassador roles they keep creating in UFC for former, you know, legends.
Right.
But I'm looking forward to the fight. San Jose is going to be huge. People will be going crazy, you know. Fan favorite, Vanderlei Silva out there. Local hometown legend, Kung Lee out there. I think it'll be an off-the-charts great fight. You know, I always love it when the crowd's really into something, and I think this crowd, San Jose, is a good crowd, and they're just going to go ape shit for this stuff. So, this weekend, the New Orleans crowd was actually really good.
They booed a lot.
They did, but they were also excited for anything slightly that happened. They'd be booing for something where there was no action, then there would be like one, you know, one guy would reverse position on the ground, and they would just cheer like crazy. So, one of those crowds, as long as something was happening, they were happy, but...
Right.
You know, they had no patience for any kind of clinch or groundwork that wasn't 100% exciting action.
Right.
And it happens. Speaking of people who are patient with the ground game, UFC coming back to Japan in 2012.
Yeah. That'll be interesting to see how that works out. How the crowd, if it's like, assuming the culture hadn't changed too much, it'll be a lot like the old Pride, where the crowd is basically silent until something interesting happens, and then they just, applaud politely, which will be like a polar opposite of, say, the Brazil crowd, where they were just screaming constantly.
The Berserk crowd had been a long time since they had a major MMA show there, so, you know.
Yeah.
They were, I think a lot of people said that was like the craziest crowd they ever heard.
Yeah.
Not just Dana, but, you know, a lot of MMA people reporting on it now have never seen, you know, or back in the day. But Japan still has, like, a lot of major MMA going. Slowly dying as we speak.
Right.
But, no, it's because it's UFC's first time there since, I think, 98. I think it'll be a big event, kind of like Brazil was. You know, Brazil, you know, Dana even said, he literally said, I pissed out. I should have made it a bigger show.
Right.
I think same thing in Japan, even though, you know, you look at the MMA landscape in Japan, you know, it's dying. No one cares anymore. You know, both pro wrestling and MMA are kind of dying, but UFC's like, UFC's brand new. It's like, this is a whole new, it's almost like a whole new thing again. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have, you're going to have your hardcores there. You know, the MMA, Japanese MMA fans who've been there through thick and thin, you know, they're going to be there. And if you're going to get a lot of casuals who are just like, oh my God, here's UFC here. You know, this is a big deal. You know, as a pro wrestling fan, you know, WWE had the same thing. You know, there's pro wrestling in Japan, but when WWE started coming there regularly in the last few years, you know, first few shows were a big deal. People were just like, oh God, you know, American pro wrestling.
Right.
I think the same thing will apply to UFC. You know, coming here, I was like, oh my God, here's UFC, you know, here's American fighting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course they're going to load the card with every Japanese guy they got.
Right. Former Pride fighters.
Whatever they got. And, you know, Pride fighters who aren't even Japanese, who just, you know, are still on the roster, still relevant, you know, probably
right.
A shot. I wouldn't be shocked if Sakuraba somehow ended up there. I really hope he doesn't. I want Sakuraba to retire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing left for him to prove. He's an amazing legend. Love him. But he's, you know, he's shot. He's been done for years, actually. It's just sad. I don't want to see him. You know, he should be in a he should be, you know, UFC should hire him as like their Japanese ambassador and like work that side of the house for him.
Right.
But at any rate, you know, I wouldn't be shocked to see him on the card. And, you know, we'll probably get, you know, Okami. Try to name some of the Japanese guys off the top of my head. I'm totally forgetting.
Gomi, if he's still around.
Gomi, yeah, I think he has a fight before then, so.
Yeah, he's got a fight. Is it this weekend? Against Nate Diaz? Or is that coming up soon? Maybe not this weekend.
It might be a UFN something or another. Yeah, a couple other guys, you know. They're still around. Again, like, the only Japanese fighters having any success are the guys that train in the States. So, I don't know how many times I got to harp on this. But, you know, obviously no Japanese quimps are listening to me. You really talented Japanese guys need to come to the States, or your Japanese camps need to up their game, because
right.
They're training in a style that's outdated, outmoded, not working. It's very obvious. Stop. You know, you're wasting a lot of talent over there. Koreans seem to be picking it up. Koreans are doing well. We did see Dong-gi, which I love that name. he did lose this weekend, but he looked really good.
Yeah. It was a competitive fight.
It was a fun card, all up and down. We had Jake versus Jake. I texted you the ref for the fight. Good sprawl.
Right.
Jake Shields.
After Jake Shields was knocked out or TKO'd, he tried to keep fighting, and after the ref jumped in, grabbed the ref, tried to take him down.
The ref sprawled out. It was pretty impressive. I enjoyed it. Jake said there at the interview, and his camp also said it was a bit an early stoppage. You get knocked on your ass and then you get punched in the face several times for about 10 seconds. Refs going to stop it.
It looked reasonable to me.
It was reasonable. I mean, it wasn't a total one way or the other, but you know, you really, they haven't like made like a formal complaint or anything. They accepted it, and Jake even said, you know, it's a ref's call. Like, yeah, you weren't doing anything. You got knocked on your ass, and then you just sat there and started getting punched. Maybe you weren't out, but you weren't doing anything. So, hey, this is MMA. This isn't boxing.
Right.
You didn't get illegally headbutted, at least. Not to get into boxing.
Yeah. I didn't see that fight, but I've read about it quite a bit. Mayweather versus
Ortiz.
Some guy named Ortiz who's not Tito.
He's not Tito. Yes. It was a... Ortiz illegally headbutted him. The ref separated them. He kind of restarted the fight. They touched gloves. I think common gentlemanly boxing sense would have no one, you know, you would have given a couple more seconds. Everyone would get reset. But basically Mayweather took advantage of the situation and immediately hit him with a hook and knocked him out.
Yeah.
It was totally legal. I watched it like three times. I was like, no, he was legal.
Yeah.
He might have been an asshole about it, but that's that's more the ref's fault than his, actually. The ref could have said, hey, no, you guys weren't completely reset.
Right. The ref should have made it quite clear that, you know, when the fight restarts.
You need to back up and reset on your circling, your footwork, whatever. He did not do that. He did what he did, and Mayweather was completely within his rights. Slightly dirty, but then again, he just got headbutted, so you know what? I don't have a lot of sympathy for the guy who just headbutted somebody that might have got a somewhat less than gentlemanly shot to the head and knocked out.
Sorry, right.
Bro. And plus, it still keeps us clear for the actual boxing match anyone actually cares about. So, you know, Pacquiao versus Mayweather.
Mm-hmm.
Who gives a shit about Ortiz? Who didn't even know who Ortiz was? I mean, if you read Tito's Twitter, he got like 100 friggin' Twitters about like, hey, you know, good luck with your fight with Mayweather. He's like, wrong Ortiz.
It's not me.
Obviously, nobody had... The only Ortiz any fight fan knew was Tito. They had no idea who this guy was. So,
I'm sure the hardcore boxing fans...
Oh, I say the hardcore. I'm talking about the casual boxing fans thought it was Tito Ortiz versus Mayweather, which is wrong on so many levels. You know, there's about a 100-pound weight difference. Even if Tito did go boxing, and, you know, Tito's not going to go boxing, especially against Mayweather.
Right.
So it was hilarious. Anyway, get back to, you know, a sport that's relevant, MMA. Burn! We do have a pay-per-view card coming up this weekend. Main event. Two of my favorite fighters. All my favorite fighters at light heavyweight, and then, like, every time they fight, I hate it unless it's Rashad.
John Jones versus Quentin Rampage Jackson.
Which has controversy going in.
Because John Jones had a spy in Rampage's camp, allegedly.
The story Quentin tells is he faked a hand injury, just told the guys that are working in this camp, like, I can't work out today, my hand's really hurting, I think I might be broke or something's wrong with it. And within 2 hours, he got a call from Joe Silva asking him if he was still in the fight or he was pulling out. And he's like, where did you hear this from? And he said, I heard it from Jones's manager. Which, saying all that's true, I think that kind of proves a point. Assuming, you know, Rampage is on the up and up, how that happened.
Yeah.
And I don't even believe, even if it is true, I don't know if Bones would have anything to do with it. It might have just been his management. What the hell was that? I just heard a bunch of noise.
Oh. Sorry.
Are you masturbating while we're talking?
None of your business. That's why we don't have the cameras on.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's kind of annoying. Make it quieter.
Okay.
It might not, even if it's true, I honestly don't think Bones is involved, and I don't think his management would ever get him involved in it, but, you know, management's management, and they're, you know, they can be devious people. People are always looking for the best advantage, you know. The old saying goes, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. But, did you see the Jimmy Fallon, is it Jimmy Fallon or was that Kimmel?
I didn't see either one.
Well, I had both. I think it was Kimmel. Maybe it was Kimmel. They had both Jones and Rampage on. It was kind of interesting. You know, you could tell like they're both very uncomfortable sitting right next to each other on the couch and they're kind of talking shit back and forth. And I think, Dr. Phil was there. I guess the idea was that he was going to be the, you know, mediator between them, but it ended up not working out at all like that way. it was pretty funny. It was okay. You know, neither one went crazy, but, I don't know. I really love Rampage, and to me, his chance with Bones is if he's just in, like, prime shape. He's just, you know.
Yeah.
You see.
Or Bones is less than prime shape, but.
Yeah, it's the thing. It's tough with Bones. He's, like, he's so dynamic. He's so long. You know, he's so young and athletic, and it's.
Yeah. I don't see how Rampage has a path to victory here.
Yeah, he still really hits really hard. He's very experienced.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's Rampage. We don't know. You know, he says he's in the best shape of his career. Everyone fucking says that.
He says that before every fight, so. And he comes out of every fight saying, I was disappointed in my performance, so even if he's won.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
He said that against Machida. He said it against whoever he fought last.
So far, he still beat Machida.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the last two wins was over Machida and the deaf guy.
Oh, Hamill, yeah.
Yeah, who's now retired.
Right.
Before that, he lost to Rashad. He went there with a knee injury. Though that's how it started the whole thing was, you know, Rashad and Jones at one time had the same management fight team, and Rashad, well, I mean, who went in the fight rusty as hell and cut a lot of weight really quick to make weight, had an injured knee apparently, and then during the Rashad fight, Rashad was targeting his injured knee, and he kind of questioned that because he said he hadn't told anyone outside of his camp.
Mm.
Shouldn't have been nobody knew, but somehow Rashad knew to target the knee.
Yeah.
So he was very suspicious of the Jackson camp, which was at the time. Rashad's now left Jackson.
Right.
Over John Bones Jones. And then he fights, you know, he set the whole thing up, apparently. So maybe there's some truth there. I'm not going to say there's not. I'm not going to say there is. That's,
yeah.
You know, all I've ever heard is, like, you know, people in MMA gossip like hens.
Right.
You know, the whole thing. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it seems like, you know, you're going to have fighters who are traveling between camps. Seems like this sort of thing is going to get around whether anyone does it maliciously or not.
Yeah, and, you know, the whole thing, you know, they blame the whole, you know, the year Randy sat out with the contract dispute was over what he was hearing other people were getting paid, and felt he was way underpaid for the position he was in. You know, heavyweight champion, he was a good draw, and he was hearing, like, all these people were making more money than him. Dana was like, no, the only person making more money than you is Chuck. You know, blah, 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 and, you know, and Dana chalked it up to just, you know, these little knitting circles in MMA that just talk and talk and talk.
Right.
And, you know, I think there is some validity to that. I think there is a lot of talking going on. It's like any job in the world, you know. I mean, where you work, I'm sure you hear all sorts of BS, you know, rumors about this and that.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I know you do because you've told me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm in the Navy on a ship. You know, I hear all sorts of crap. You know, just, you know, I'm a smoker, so I go out to the smoke deck and, like, the smoking area for your civilian types, and it's just like I hear all sorts of things, and just like, you know, things that apparently happened the night before, you know, all of a sudden it's all around the ship and there's 300 different theories about it, and I guarantee you MMA is the same way, and all those people know each other, and it's hard to judge you're not in the game, you know, as commentators like us, we can only, you know, speculate. I think Rampage has a good, you know, he might have a very good point. If everything he says is absolutely true, that sounds very suspicious. You know, at least maybe not Bones personally, but maybe his management has maybe they do have a spy. They're paying some dude good money.
Yeah, it's possible.
Or maybe Rampage is just paranoid and, you know.
Yeah, that's also possible.
It's life, you know. What else is going on? Ultimate Fighter as this recording, the last season on Spike starting airing tonight.
That's right, which will be a previous night by the time this gets up on iTunes.
At least. It's all up to Brian.
Yes.
On his you know, redhead stepchild of a show. last season on Spike, the preview looked, you know, pretty damn exciting. Of course, they do that with every preview. It's like, oh my god, this season's going to be great. And it's like, same old shit.
Well, I think Mayhem is a good choice for a coach just because he is a self-branded entertainer.
He does look like he goes after Bisping at least twice on two different occasions from the promo.
And I think, you know, he said, before he was re-signed with UFC, he said, you know, a year or two ago, that the reason he specifically didn't want to go to the UFC because he was more interested in selling his brand than he was in being basically owned by one organization. Of course, that's obviously changed, but
there is no other organization.
Well, that's true.
Doesn't have a lot of options.
Maybe the Ultimate Fighter gig was partly an incentive to get him to sign with the UFC again.
Yeah, he's a name. You know, he has a show on MTV. And, you know, he's not, you know, like he's a low-level fighter. He's at least upper mid-card.
Yeah.
You know, he almost choked Jake Shields out in their title fight. That's, you know, we'll see. I mean, I'm looking, you know, I always love the entertainment aspect of it. I right now I have very high hopes. It looks like a very entertaining season. A lot of pranks going on. I love that. Dana White has said that it was the best. The get into the house fights are the best ever.
But right. This is the first time they're doing featherweights and bantamweights.
Yeah, well, I mean, which makes me believe it because the lighter guys are always the most exciting.
Yeah.
I wish, you know, someday.
Absolutely.
Someday MMA fans kind of get on the bandwagon. You know, boxing has kind of figured out lately. You know, used to be in boxing, heavyweight was always where everyone went.
Right.
But all the true boxing fans knew, it was like, no, the best fights are actually down at the lower levels.
Right.
But no one wanted to see it. Everyone wants to see, like, well, who's there actually the toughest guy in boxing? And obviously the heaviest guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it took them years and years. You know, Golden Boy was kind of like the first guy that kind of broke it into, you know, at least the U.S. mainstream. Is like, you know, you got to watch the lower level guy, the lower weight guys to see, like, they're really good boxing.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, you know, obviously Mayweather, Pac-Man, you know, these are like the biggest names in boxing, and they're like 140 pounds.
Right.
So hopefully MMA is moving in that direction. It's like, yeah, you know, Brock Lesnar's a freak, but, you know, most guys at heavyweight, you know, other than about the top three or four, really aren't that great to watch.
And yet the first fight on the, or the only fight, I guess, on the first Fox broadcast card is the heavyweight title. So.
Yeah, but it's at least it's not Tim Sylvia and Jeff Monson or anything.
Yeah, that's true. It is two really exciting heavyweights, which don't come along all the time. So
yeah, it's a good fight. It's a good choice. You know, again, you have that perception. You know, like, hey, heavyweights are where it's at, and now you're going to see the heavyweight championship fight.
Right.
And, you know, luckily,
plus they are really exciting.
Yeah, and they said, luckily, they are actually two really good heavyweight fights, and it'll probably go a full five rounds, you know. If it's a full, exciting five rounds of a great heavyweight fight, you know, neck and neck, tooth and nail, you know, first time on broadcast, you know, I'm not first time on broadcast television, but first time UFC's on.
First UFC on broadcast television.
You know, and, you know, you've had all these new fans, you know, they've been, you know, I watch football, and, like, you know, I've been seeing, you know, every time Fox on NFL on Fox has been showing, they've been advertising the shit out of it.
Yeah.
You know, Fox is definitely going through with their part of the deal. Like, they're pushing this, and I think there's going to be a pretty big a rating for this. You know, if the fight is what it should be, you know, I do see you bringing in new fans, maybe even old boxing fans who dismissed it and saying, like, you know, hey, what, that was pretty awesome. I really like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, you know, if it was a very smart move by UFC doing this fight. You know,
it's a little unfortunate that it's just an hour long show and they're only gonna have one live fight.
But I think they're going for the boxing fan mentality. They're going for, like, you know, boxing fans only care about the main event.
Yeah.
They're looking at Fox, which is, you know, let's face it, you know, it's going to be a lot of, you know, broadcasting fans are old, probably, like, if they were combat sports fans, they were old school boxing fans.
Yeah.
And they're used to the main event being the only thing that matters and the heavyweights being the most important thing.
Right.
And they tap into that and the fact that their champion and their number one contender are exciting fighters. That's the perfect choice. What other fights are on the horizon that are interesting?
I was right that, actually, that's a good card this weekend. It's also got Matt Hughes versus Josh Koscheck, which...
Oh, there you go.
You know, expect the younger fighter to come out ahead, because Matt Hughes is tossing around the idea of retirement. Of course,
he's Matt Hughes.
He's Matt Hughes, right.
He pulls that. Matt Hughes' biggest. He is freakishly strong, and yeah. This will probably be a grappling match at some point. We'll see if Koscheck has the better wrestling pedigree. He's younger. He's faster. Matt Hughes is also way more experienced, and I think stronger. You know that. That's an interesting dynamic. I would pick Koscheck to win it. You know, I don't see. I actually, if he wins it, I pick it by. TKO. I think he'll knock Matt out if he's the one that wins. It'll be by knockout. It won't be by wrestling domination. I think he's, you know, yeah.
His striking has gotten really good. Yeah.
But I mean, have you ever seen Matt Hughes on his back losing a fight for three straight rounds?
Good point.
And if Koscheck does that, I mean, I think that elevates him more than just knocking him out in the first round. I think that's just. It's like, holy crap, I just dominated this guy who's never, ever been dominated on his back. Ever. No one's ever done it.
Right.
You know, not for length. I mean, yeah, BJ choked him out, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, BJ didn't have him in control for, like, three rounds. That's 15 minutes of, you know, taking a wrestler on his back like that. Koscheck does that. That's actually more impressive to me as a, you know, hardcore fan. But no, I expect Koscheck. He's younger, quicker, way quicker. His hands are better. I actually expect him to knock Matt out. But I have no, I'm not thinking like Matt has no chance. I think Matt's is very much going to control him on the ground, and it might be a surprise to Koscheck. You know, because Koscheck doesn't really neither one really like, face high level MMA wrestlers. Other than GSP, who both lost to. But I think it might, you know, there might be a thing where, like, Koscheck is like, holy shit, you know, this guy's really, really strong on the ground. He really, really knows what he's doing. Obviously, he's one of the most experienced guys at that weight. And, you know, he might even catch him a choke as he did with Gracie last year. You know, he caught a Gracie in the choke and choked him out.
Right.
On the undercard of Chael and Anderson. You know, because I just watched that DVD because you sent it to me about a year ago. Remember that?
Yes, yes.
Enough about the Navy mail system.
And this card also has Nate Diaz versus Gomi.
I'm going to pick Gomi in this.
You think?
Yeah, I think it's a pick 'em, but I think Gomi's going to catch him, get him on the ground, and he's going with the ground pound.
Yeah, I think Diaz is more likely to submit Gomi.
I don't know. I don't see it happen. I don't know why. It's just my mentality. It's like I think Gomi's going to get him. Gomi's quicker. Diaz is longer, and you know he's. I wouldn't say better boxing. I think they're about even on boxing. Gomi's a really great boxer.
Yeah.
But I think he's quicker, and Diaz has a better ground game. And you know, if he takes Diaz to the ground and gets caught, then it just shows Gomi has not evolved at all. And I don't think that's the case. But if that's what happens, I'll eat my words on it. But I think Gomi takes it.
All right. Well, we'll see.
And Diaz, you know, both are hungry fighters. They both lost, I think, their last ones. So as always, Joe Silva providing the interesting fights.
Yeah.
We do have a New Year's Eve, or Eve of New Year's Eve? Is that Eve of New Year's Eve card. A former Strike Force heavyweight champion versus former UFC heavyweight champion.
Overeem versus Lesnar?
Yep.
That's another good heavyweight fight.
It's great. It's a fight that shows, you know, where is Lesnar at, where, you know, and how much does Overeem strike up, stack up against UFC top contenders.
Right.
Very perfect fight. I don't know how much it's going to sell. You know, it's not New Year's Eve, but it's the day before. It's not the normal UFC pay-per-view night. It's Friday.
Yeah, they're doing it on a Friday, aren't they?
Yeah. So it might not sell as well. You know, you say, oh, it's Brock Lesnar, it's going to sell, but, you know, he tanked on ratings for Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah.
Maybe his ass whooping by Cain Velasquez killed his draw to a degree, at least.
Oh, I don't know. I think it was a really boring season of the Ultimate Fighter. I'm not sure if that...
Well, it never started out strong either. So it's,
yeah.
You know, a lot of the smart money was like, oh, it's Brock Lesnar coaching. It's going to, you know, at least have a decent rating. It had a terrible rating the entire way through.
Yeah.
And it showed to me like, you know, nothing caught the public eye going through the show, but nothing caught the public eye to begin with Brock. It's like, hey, is Brock Lesnar on a TV show? Come watch it. And like,
yeah.
It's like a lot of people just are like, yeah, he completely got his ass whooped by this dude. It's like, hey, dude, he's not real. Like, there's a lot of casual fans that really did not, you know, just gave up on Brock Lesnar, which is, you know, short-sighted, I think, you know. It's like, you know, discounting Brock Lesnar is like, yeah, it's stupid. He just, you know, there was one guy really, really better than him at that night.
Yeah. But it still makes him, you know, top of the heavyweight division.
Yeah, he beats Overeem. I mean, they said Dana already said the winner gets the next title shot. So, you know, it might be. I mean, I am looking at, you know, a rematch between Kane and Brock. I think Brock takes Overeem pretty easy because Overeem just get taken down by Brock and get pounded out. I just don't see how that goes any other way. Alistair's just no way he can keep Brock on his feet. Brock doesn't want to be on his feet.
Right.
And I think Kane wins against JDS, which is a lot much tougher fight. Like he already, both fighters have said it's probably going to be a 5-round fight, which I think it will be. But I think Kane will be the better fighter overall, and he'll win the fight. It'll be I think it will be a great fight. I think it will, you know, as much as people don't like decisions, I think, you know, if you got to have a first fight on Fox that's a heavyweight fight that's going to go to decision, that's not a bad one to have. And I think he'll win it, and I think we'll have the rematch. It'll be a good money fight, and, you know, who knows. It's way too early to predict that winner. You know, you don't want to predict a winner of a winner of a winner, you know, whatever. So I wouldn't even go that far. I'm not even going to go that far. I have to see Brock, obviously.
Yeah. I'm not sure that I feel pretty good about JDS against Velasquez myself.
It's not a bad pick. I wouldn't give you shit.
Well, they're both very similar fighters, so it's going to be.
If my opinion, Velasquez is way more rounded. JDS is, you know, a great stand up who has good takedown defense. But
yeah.
I think either Kane or Brock took him down. That would be more of a test to see how he does on his back. He doesn't really get taken down a lot because he does have a good stand up defense, but he's not against, you know, a really talented. I don't know how many really talented wrestlers we've seen him against. So,
yeah.
But then again, you know, it's like I can knock the guy out before he even gets to me to the ground because my boxing's so great. You know, maybe it doesn't matter. But, you know, there's always questions about fighters, you know.
Right.
good as GSP is, you know, there's always people railing like, oh, he's never fought this kind of guy. And like someone, every fighter he fights is, you know, somebody's going to stand up and say like, oh, he can't handle this. He can't handle that. That's, that's MMA and nut huggers. We got to love the nut huggers.
Speaking of the Ultimate Fighter.
I thought you were going to say, speaking of nut huggers, that would have been horrible.
Speaking of nut huggers, I'm done masturbating now.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of the Ultimate Fighter, when the show goes to FX next year, and they're going to do
live fights?
Live fights. Every Friday night, there's going to be one live fight for the Ultimate Fighter for 12 weeks. And the question that I have not seen answered yet, maybe you have, maybe you haven't, is does that mean previously the fighters have been living in the house for 6 weeks at a time, filming over 6 weeks, and they make 12 episodes
out of
it?
It'll be now 12 episodes. 12 weeks.
They'll actually be going to be living in the house for
12 weeks. Yes.
That sounds hellish.
It's hellish, and it's a part of the show. It's Now we're going to increase how long you got to be away from your family.
Yeah.
And me as a military member who leaves his family for 7 months at a time, boy, suck it up, bunch of pussies.
Well, they're also doing it, you know, they have no TV, no...
Wah.
No books.
Wah. A bunch of... not saying... I mean, most of them are fine. It's like, you know, you have the handful of mama's boys who doesn't know how to handle... they never been left their home... They're left their hometown, their friends, and all of a sudden, it's like 2 weeks into it, they're like, and everything is not the way I'm like doing things. And I'm just like, grow the hell up.
You know,
it's just my opinion. I'm this is coming from a person who spends a hell of a lot of time away from home, so I think I know what I'm talking about. And you get some of these young kids, you know, they're probably badass fighters, definitely kick my ass. But, you know, they can't handle a little drama in their life, a little suffering. It's like, it's not even bad suffering. It's like, you're getting every food you want. You're still getting everything you want in life.
Yeah.
You just can't call your home. You can't, you can't talk to anybody you know, and it's for, you know, 2-3 months, whatever. It's not, that's not the worst friggin' life in the world.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be like an elite fighter, you know? Certainly you can handle that, you know, if you say you can handle, like, you know, the best fighters in the world.
Right.
That's what I say.
It's going to amp up the drama aspect of the show.
Absolutely. I think they're counting on that. They're like, yeah, we're going to increase it. We're going to increase the time in the house twice as long.
Yeah,
you know, and they've done these 14 seasons. They obviously know like how much you know time in the house screws with people's heads,
right?
So
they need new hooks. You know, 14 seasons in, new hooks to keep viewers and get viewers. So
is new hooks white?
Sure.
Hey, it's new hooks. Oh my God, he's white with a Jufro.
So,
I'm sure half the people here didn't get that. It's okay. But yeah, the landscape of MMA has changed so much, like just in the last time we've even talked, and we're gonna see even more changes coming up. Strikeforce dying, you know, what's gonna happen with the Zuffa deal with Showtime after that, you know.
Yeah, Dana's comment in the presser today it's up to Showtime to determine the future of Strikeforce. So I'm not sure exactly what that means, but
I think it means like you guys want to keep a deal with us.
You're gonna have to submit to our will,
pretty much. And the unfortunate side of that is, you know, what happens to female MMA because.
Yeah.
If he completely loses Showtime, there's no female MMA in UFC. That's just always going to happen. I think Dana's fine with it if he can keep Strikeforce as some kind of like secondary promotion. I think he wants to turn it to WEC, and he'll keep women's MMA as part of that. He's like, hey, I got Strikeforce, you know, I got Showtime, I got all this, you know, outlet to do that. You know, fine, yeah, whatever. Women's MMA. But if it's like, no, it's all UFC, if you're going to have women's fights, it's going to be under the UFC banner, he's not going to do it. He has an issue with it. Whatever. He's probably not going to say anything.
Yeah. Well, and, just you know, even under Strikeforce, they're just...
Women's MMA is really thin. I'm not going to lie, but...
Yeah, the women's fights have been few and far between, and...
But it's
hard to say someone's a champion when they defend their belt once a year, maybe, against someone who usually fights at a different weight class, but, hey, she won their last fight at 135, so we're going to give her a 145-pound title shot.
It's bereft of a lot of talent, but it's something that needs to be built, and I know UFC is looking to build up, like, having, like, a junior league, and... You know, the problem with that is Dana White's reluctance for women's MMA is like, you know, it's like, hey, you are the man for MMA. You know, if he has an avenue to keep building women's MMA, I think he'll do it, even if he doesn't particularly like it. This is like, hey, there's money here.
Yeah. You know?
What's her name? She was, you know, she makes money. Cyborg. Yeah. Cyborg makes money.
Yeah.
You know, it's just... It's but they don't have a lot of opponents, you know. Misha Tate, you know, and a few of these other girls, it's like, you know, these are elite, but most of their opponents are, you know, not that great. And that's a problem, you know. It's developing people. It's, you know, making sure these gyms are out there getting it and let these girls know, like, hey, there's an outlet. If you keep working, you know, you could be this person. And it's slower than the male side. You know, boxing is still having this problem. You know, who's the last female boxer you heard of? Muhammad Ali's daughter, right?
No clue.
Yeah, you don't even know. So, you know, it's an issue with female combat sports, and there are certain people who just don't cotton to females fighting ever.
Yeah.
Even, you know, boxing's been doing it forever. You know, like I said, what's her name?
You never hear about him.
Yeah. Mrs. Ali, she was like the last female boxer anyone ever cared about, and, you know, in women's MMA, we've had, what's her name? Why am I forgetting her name now?
What, Cyborg? Gina Carano?
Gina Carano, not Cyborg. Yeah, it was like, those are two that carried it. Misha Tate's, you know, and a lot of them are compared on, like, you know, how hot are they? I'm not even lying. I'm not even making the joke. That's, you know. You can have, like, a freak who defies the, you know, beauty thing, like Cyborg. Not saying she's a terrible-looking person or anything, but she's not, like, you know, a gorgeous model or anything.
Well, you get punched in the face enough times, and you start to lose a few beauty points.
Yeah, it's life. And, you know, women have a certain unfortunate thing in the real world. And, you know, but there's enough fans that really do love and care about women's fighting, and it's like, hey, we want to see this, you know?
Yeah.
It's convincing the rest of the world, like, hey, this isn't, like, a terrible, horrible onus on the world. You know, let these girls do what they got to do, and they have a lot of really good fights.
Yeah.
We went to the first Elite Extreme fight. Julie Kedzie, Gina Carano. Was that, like, one of the best fights you ever saw live?
Yeah.
Yeah? There you go.
It's been a while. That was before I had glasses, so it was kind of fuzzy, but it was a good fight.
It was a great fight. That was an awesome fight, actually. That was also the night Frank Shamrock kneed a guy in the head, which apparently he still doesn't know is illegal, according to the last Strikeforce I watched.
I made a comment that Henzo put his head in the way or something. Anyway.
Yeah, it's Frank Shamrock. It's a whole other story. But anyway, this was our MMA broadcast for the, hopefully not just the, like, 6 months.
One more thing. I want to give a quick shout out to Alan Belcher from my hometown.
Ooh, yeah.
Came back from his detached retina and beat Jason McDonald into submission, literally.
Great fight.
Yeah, verbally submitted. So.
He overcame his terrible tattoo.
Yes.
Hoorah, Bit South.
Hoorah.
All right, I think that's it from us. Thanks for listening as always, and we'll see you next time outside the cage.
You've been listening to Outside the Cage with your hosts, Gabriel Owens and Alan Young. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Like the podcast? Leave us feedback on iTunes. Outside the Cage is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.